Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, we have the fire up at 5 o'clock, which we're excited for, Raiders style. We have Kevin Harlan, who's calling the game on CBS. Love Kevin. We have Troy Rank, which will join us in about 10 minutes, who is at Dove Valley inside the locker room. Tell you everything going on a Friday. And Kyle Freeland will join us at 4:45. So we're loaded, man. We got a good, fun show for you to listen to this afternoon. Appreciate it. I got to give you this tidbit out of Buffalo. Fans tailgating at Bills games could face criminal charges for table slamming. So that whole Bills Mafia thing of jumping onto the tables is actually apparently against the law.
So you say we can't have any fun.
I'm trying to figure out what is table slamming.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. You've never seen those Bills Mafia videos with them jumping onto the folding tables? You're kidding me. You've never seen that?
I'm not that familiar with it, buddy.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, it's kind of a thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, in the six wonderful, roll my eyes, years I had living in Buffalo, there was a lot of drinking, but I don't ever recall the jumping on the table thing. I don't know exactly when that started, but it's relatively new, and every time I see it, I think, that is unbelievably dangerous. I mean, people jump onto the tables. They slam each other on the tables. I mean, it's like a wrestling move. But to give wrestlers some credit, these are, for the most part, with wrestlers, highly physically fit human beings. They're not just a bunch of drunk fatzos from East Lackawanna that are jumping off trailers. Maybe they're from North Tonawanda, Cheektowaga. I can give you local Buffalo references all day if you need.
Yeah, because you just lost me on
Hamburg.
Is that where Zach Bye's from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He gets so offended when you talk about his Buffalo
area.
Oh,
I know. I lived there for 6 years. I can say whatever I want about it.
Is that the normal take from people who are from Buffalo?
Yeah, they talk about my Buffalo. This ridiculous chip on their shoulder, their area of the country is nice to live in. It's terrible compared to here. It's okay compared to, Cleveland, Detroit. I mean, there's crappier places than Buffalo. Not a lot. Actually, we were back to Buffalo a couple years ago for a short visit, and it's all right. But yeah, I thought the whole table slamming, I didn't know it was illegal. It's illegal. You can't do it. And they're going to be running around there trying to arrest people who are doing it, apparently. So there you go. Those fans are intense, though. I'm not going to lie. They like they like living where they live, Al.
Well, if it's the only thing you have to do, then I guess you just get in where you fit in.
Yeah, I mean, if you live off the skajakwita your whole life. So cow tipping, yeah.
Some people like cow tipping.
It's the type of place, like when I say skajakwita, I'm saying it wrong. It's like a name of a road, but it was the name of a road like in the 50s, but everybody still calls it the name of that road. The Kensington, the Skajakwita. I don't know. It's like, what road are you talking about? It's as if I-25 had a name. Does I-25 have a name? Do we name our roads here in Colorado? Or do we just call them like I-25? Buffalo. So there you go. News out of... And they're going to have a apparently horrible season this year.
The Bills?
I don't know. I'm rooting for Josh Allen.
Wait a minute. Are you asking or are you making a statement?
Well, I mean, it did not look good. Off to a bad
start.
Who's
their head coach there?
Not McVay. He's in L.A. McDermott, yeah. Is it Sean McDermott?
But he was the same guy that benched Tyrod Taylor last year, right? Tyrod Taylor.
I don't know what he did with Terod.
Yeah, remember they started Nathan Peterman in front of him for a game or two because he didn't like Terod's winning attitude and his ability to get them to the playoffs. By the way, really close game between the Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Bills did get 3 points.
And the Jaguars only got 9.
Was that the final of that game?
Yeah.
9-3?
Yeah, I'm looking over there like, I'm not joking. Like,
was that the final?
It was a good game. It was a low-scoring game. But at any moment, Buffalo could have won that game. Or you could say that,
I don't know,
in defensive terms, the Jacksonville Jaguars blew out the Buffalo Bills.
I hope Josh Allen goes in there and owns. I hope he does awesome. I hope he does great. I want him to do great. I want Darnold to do great. I want Mayfield to do great. I want Rosen to do great. And I want Lamar Jackson. I can't imagine he's sharing many friendly lunches with Joe Flacco these days, but they didn't know how to even use him yet. I can't believe he had 31 snaps in week one, and they didn't look like anything. Anyways, that being said, there you go, Buffalo Bills. When we come back, what's the latest with the Broncos? Troy Rank from out of Dove Valley earlier today. Next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
You know, I've been accused of liking everybody, but I really like Keenum. What he did in college is unseen, the type of production that he had. And I told our people a long time ago when I first came here, I think the free agent acquisition in pro football this year is going to be Case Keenum.
That's John Gruden, who will go 0-2 after he visits Denver as a football coach. Troy Rank will join us in moments. We're looking at the Rockies did something so cool. Who doesn't love the Rockies right now? Everything about the Rockies is awesome.
No doubt, man.
And they're taking their road trip.
Just
they're playing in San Francisco tonight, correct? I believe.
Yep, at San Francisco this weekend.
What's that pick, Sexy? Oh, okay. And they were taking a road trip, and their theme was NFL jerseys. So everybody on the plane, coaches, assistants, players, everybody was wearing different pro football, not college football, pro football jerseys. We'll have Kyle Freeland on in about a half hour. He was wearing a Von Miller jersey. That's kind of cool. But it's just kind of interesting who guys pick out in terms of who they want to represent in the NFL. Troy Rank joins us. He is on Denver 7, our Broncos insider, presented by the Tranny Law Offices. Have you or someone you know been arrested for a DUI? Contact the Tranny Law Offices at 303-333-1816 for help. Have you seen the picture, Troy, of the Rockies getting on the plane all wearing their NFL jerseys?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It used to relate to their fantasy football teams where they'd take the jersey, wear the jersey of their first-round pick in the fantasy football league, but this was just more of their favorite teams and representing guys. So the coolest one for me is Matt Holliday wearing a John Elway, throwback John Elway jersey.
Yeah, that's very cool. Did you notice Nolan Arenado wearing a New York Jets jersey?
I didn't see him. He was in the back of the picture then, right? Very back?
Yeah, but there's other pictures on their Twitter handle that show Arenado wearing
a Jets jersey. Huh? That's interesting. No, I saw a lot of
All right, Troy, wait a second.
Yeah, why is that interesting?
Why is that interesting?
I mean, I don't know what his connection is to New York. I mean, the Yankees won't have room for him, unfortunately, but everyone will start connecting him to the Yankees as next year hits, because that'll be his last before free agency.
Right. He's from Southern California, isn't he?
Correct, outside of Anaheim.
So it's legitimate he could be a USC fan, thus a Sam Darnold fan.
That is absolutely true.
Yes.
He signed to go to Arizona State out of college, but he was going to go to Arizona State. It was one of the few schools that wanted him at third. A lot of schools recruited him as a catcher, if you can believe that.
Wow. I did not know that. All right. That being said, Dove Valley today on a Friday. What's the vibe? What's the feeling? What's going on out there?
Yeah, a lot of confidence, and it's reflected in Vance Joseph. It was interesting. He went old school hockey today, DMAC, when he said that you need to be a desperate team in the NFL, that teams that win are desperate teams. And I can't remember. I count how many times I heard that covering the Avalanche back in the day, that we got to be desperate. But it does fit that it was kind of this idea, they can't overlook anything. It doesn't matter what the Raiders did. It doesn't matter that the Raiders don't have Khalil Mack. The Broncos aren't in a position to overlook anyone. And this is a big game for them. Demaryius Thomas told me earlier in the week it's a must-win. And frankly, I don't disagree, because they haven't won an AFC West road game since Peyton Manning retired. You can't drop AFC West road games at home.
Well, what I want to, before we get too far about the Denver Broncos, tell me about this team. D-Mac said about a couple of weeks ago, and I'll never forget, man, he said there's magical things that's happening with this Colorado Rockies team. Do you feel the same way? Do you feel comfortable going on this road trip right now?
Yeah, because of the pitching, Al. I mean, it's the best starting rotation they've ever had. And when you pitch well, you don't have to be perfect everywhere else. I mean, pitching. Good starting pitching basically camouflages more blemishes than Revlon. You can get away with a lot when you pitch. And they pitch well. And Kyle Freeland has pitched like a Cy Young guy. So has Ramon Marquez the second half of the season. John Gray's a concern. They got to figure out what they're going to do with Tyler Anderson going forward. But here's the deal, Al. You ask why I'm confident. They have 16 games left. If they go 9-7, they get to 90 wins. The Dodgers would have to go 11-5 just to tie them. So if you go 10-6, if you're the Rockies, Dodgers have to go 12-4. I mean, you start doing the math, they're in a good position.
I love it. I love it, man. We're so excited about everything that's happening with the Colorado Rockies, but our Denver Broncos are playing this weekend. And, I think if for most people around here, we kind of looked at this game as, okay, it's the Raiders. We should get a win because they stink and they stunk it up. Last Monday night. But then we look around and we saw how the Buffalo Bills got trounced by the Baltimore Ravens. And then you start to say, wait a minute, let's not take any team light. Do you think that this team is focused enough going into this game against this Raider team that didn't look great this week?
Yeah, they respect the Raiders, Al, because they know that, the Raiders have played them really well over the last few years. It's been a little bit ugly at times. They still have Marshawn Lynch, so they know they have to stop the run. But the one thing they're confident at is they believe they have a plan of attack for once to stop the tight end. We'll see. I mean, with Jared Cook, because he's coming up to, 9 catches, 180 yards. But they feel like they can get to Derek Carr. They can make him uncomfortable. And you saw in the second half of that game of the Rams, Al, when Derek Carr started feeling beat and seeing ghosts, just started throwing the ball up for grabs. I don't know, other than happy feet, like what was going on. But if you're the Broncos, that's a confident mindset. Man, we can get in this guy's face and even create the illusion of pressure. It's going to give him a chance. I think this game is going to be more about picks than sacks. That you're not going to sack Carr a lot because he gets the ball out in, 2.2 seconds. But he does force it, and he does get rid of it at times too quickly that can lead to interceptions.
Troy, if your house got toilet papered and egged because of a high school prank, because of homecoming, would you be upset or wipe it away as foolish high school fun?
The toilet paper, I have no issue with. The eggs, that bothers me. I'm not going to lie. Now, listen, I TP'd enough houses in high school to make the all-conference team, so I'm not going to have a problem with that. But I wasn't egging houses. That's a bigger issue, man. Especially when eggs, yeah. But my kids have gone through that at different stages too, where, because they live on one side of town and they go to their friends go to the other school closer. I mean, so I get it, but don't egg houses. If you want a toilet paper house, that's one thing. Don't egg houses.
All right. Thank you, Troy.
I said the exact same thing, Troy.
I didn't realize my house did get egged until I saw it got TP'd.
As soon as you see it, you got to wash it off.
Well, I didn't see it until I was leaving the house. Oh. And I'm like, oh.
I would have been a little late just making sure that it wasn't baked on there. You don't want eggs over easy on the house until your painter get there.
Troy, what's your prediction for the Broncos-Raiders game? Give me a number.
I think it's going to be low scoring. I'm in that kind of similar to last week, that 23-16, 23-14 type game. I think they're going to win. It won't feel easy because these games are typically close, but I think at the end of it, you're going to say, okay, they won and they took care of business is home. So I'm staying 23-16, D-Mac.
Troy Rank. Thank you, Troy. Brought to you by Tranny Law. Check him out on Denver 7. Kyle Freeland at 4:45. We'll be joined by Kevin Harlan, one of our great friends, one of the best broadcasters in America, next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms. Bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
The great Kevin Harlan.
Oh, that's still our favorite line.
Works for CBS Sports and Westwood One. He'll be with Rich Gannon Sunday for the Dolphins-Jets and then the Monday night game with the Seahawks-Bears. However, Kevin was on the call with the Rams and the Raiders and joins us right now. Kevin, good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good to be on with you guys. Thank you for having me.
Kevin, when you looked at the Raiders in the second half, what did you see was not happening for them that was fine in the first half?
Well, they gave up a little bit on Lynch, who I think is limited in terms of the number of snaps he can take. I think Marshawn is in good shape. I don't know if he's in great shape, and I would say that really for every other veteran in the NFL, I'm not certain what kind of shape a lot of these guys are in because they didn't play that many live snaps during preseason. So September, to me, has kind of an extended preseason feel to it, and the Raiders showed that. So Carr was off, and they couldn't get anything going on offense, and Lynch was such a huge part of the first half but disappeared in the second.
You know, one of the things that I love to see early in the season is guys conditioning and how they're able to handle the early heat of the NFL football season, and then how they perform in the clutch in the second half. Mm-hmm. And that most of the time gets amplified in game number one because nobody's in real game shape, Kevin. And, of course, it's all the years that you've been around football, it shows itself in some crazy ways. When you look at week number one across the NFL, were there some surprising teams outside of what you saw with the Raiders and the Rams?
I don't know. I don't know if you know, Kansas City was, I think, pretty impressive going to L.A. and beating the Chargers. And I think people had the Chargers as one of the better teams, certainly in the front line of the AFC teams to watch this year. They finished last year so well, and Kansas City was changing quarterbacks and really kind of setting Goff a sure thing in Alex Smith and taking a chance on an early career start for, you know, Patrick Mahomes. And I thought Kansas City's win was impressive. The Rams, in the game we did Monday, they did not play their best football. Their quarterback certainly didn't play the best football, and that's a playoff team from a year ago. But they've made some big-time additions on defense, as you well know, with all-pro after all-pro put in there. And even when they didn't play well, with all the emotion and drama of opening night and for them in the league, I mean, they got a win and looked pretty easy doing it. Now, I don't think the Raiders are all that good, but the Rams are, and if that was a so-so performance from them, as I think they would attest, that's going to be a pretty good ball club. Brady was brilliant in his win for New England. Not sure what the read on Pittsburgh and Roethlisberger is. They host Kansas City this weekend. His elbow is bad. He didn't play that well last week with a couple of interceptions. And then Andy Dalton plays so well last night for Cincinnati. Baltimore looked like world beaters against Buffalo. I just think that we're going to see a lot of up and down in this first month, and I don't know if we're really going to get a good compass read on any of these teams until we get to the month of October. Then you'll kind of have guys in shape. You'll kind of know what your rotations are at various positions. Mm-hmm. The tape will be out there among the other teams for them to see and plan for you. I still think we're kind of in that position where they may have practiced more with a live game feel than they actually played in the preseason. So these games have got to take on, I think, a different kind of feel. It's just the way the league is now. You have limited hitting and limited time during the offseason with these players, and it's all health related and part of the CBA. And I get that, but the product probably isn't what we're expected in to see until we get to October.
You know, we probably won't have a significant change until the next CBA.
True.
So when that does happen, though, what would you like to see happen?
Well, I'd like to see, first and foremost, quarterback school reinstated and let these quarterbacks, you know, of course, they can decide not to individually, but every coach talks about the limited time you've got with these quarterbacks. He said, well, when we used to have quarterback school, we would go down to the very beginning of quarterback play. We'd talk about footwork. We would talk about ball carriage. We would talk about launch point. We would talk about everything that made our offensive playbook what it is, the history behind every play. You don't have a chance to do any of that anymore. You're relying on veterans to come in and pretty much just pick up maybe where they left off last year. But the time to develop an NFL quarterback is immense, more than any other position. So if there's any one thing that they could crack on, I'd love to see them open the door back to the quarterback schools in the offseason. It would make the game appreciably better. There's absolutely no doubt. And then I think also players who are being forbidden to go to their teams in the offseason are hiring guys to work out with them, joining a pack of other players to work out amongst themselves, but it's not like it is under the watchful eye of your athletic training staff and weightlifting crew for the team that you play on. They've got a design for you. They know exactly what you can and cannot do physically. Some guys are rehabbing. But they're all doing things, it seems, outside of the team concept and doing things individually for things that may not really even apply to what they need to have happen during the regular season. So the two things I'd love to see are players with an open book, a free pass, anytime they want to go into their team facility and work out, get the nutrition, get the medical advice, get all the things they need, and then first and foremost, get those quarterbacks back in there as soon as they can for quarterback school with the individual teams. Those two things, I think, would be huge in terms of the quality of play we would see earlier in the season.
I have to ask you this because it's somebody that we all understand and know. John Gruden, has the general press been unkind to John Gruden in the handling of the Khalil Mack situation on top of the huge loss to the Rams? Or do you think that John Gruden is being treated like every other coach in the NFL?
Khalil Mack didn't want to play there, Alfred, and I think he's an outsized personality, so he's open for shots, and I think he knows it, especially being in the business as he was in the last 9 years. So he knows kind of the open book there is on him and kind of the open season, because he seemed to have a lot of answers when he was on the air. Now can he, you know, translate that back to the coaching realm where he is? But Khalil Mack did not want to play in Oakland. But more importantly, the Raiders don't have the money to pay him. They are cash poor. They don't have the deep pockets of some of these owners and some of these organizations. There was not the kind of money to pay the guy what he wanted to be paid, especially in light of what Aaron Donald had just gotten a couple days prior. And when the Raiders saw that and there was no movement on the Mack side, I think they just felt, listen, we've got to move on and salvage what we can. So he makes the deal, Reggie McKenzie makes the deal, and they get what they got. You know, they traded Mack in a pick, and they got a couple of high number, a couple number ones, and over the next, 2 years, they get four picks. I think probably they got out of it the best they could, but just the constraints they've got on themselves right now financially, there just was not, I think, it to be safe, the kind of money where they could just write that guaranteed 60, 70, whatever it was, million-dollar check and feel comfortable about where they were going to be financially. Now, when they go to Las Vegas, it's going to be a completely different scenario. They're going to make a ton of money. They're going to be awash in cash. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be a different. Right now, they are not. They've got a horrible deal with their stadium. They don't generate a lot of revenue from that stadium and its surrounding area. And consequently, they're dealing just on a football basis with what they get from sales of tickets and what they get from NFL properties and what they get from the TV contracts.
Yeah, it's a unique situation. They're really about 2020. It just is what it is. And John Gruden doesn't have anything to worry about, which makes it fun for the Broncos, Kevin, for the next couple of years, or at least it should be, at least. So we really appreciate your time. Have a great call this week, my man.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. Thanks for having me on.
The great Kevin Harlan from CBS and Westwood One. Talk about great. Kyle Freeland with the W yesterday. He'll catch up with us as we preview the series with the Giants in San Francisco. And what was the team playing like with everybody wearing them jerseys?
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Shake some.
This is Kyle's walk-up song? What the hell is this? Kyle, are you kidding me with this? This is your walk-up song? Seriously?
Yeah, for hitting.
Really?
Yeah. Something wrong with that?
I don't know. You just make me feel so super old, that's all, I suppose. But it's Kyle Freeland. No, of course there's nothing wrong with it. What is it?
Shooting at the club, everybody go to jail.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Can't for your dad's sake just put on some like Skynyrd or something, or some AC/DC, or you know, something all the Freelands. What about Freebird? Have you ever thought about Freebird?
I have, yeah. That'd probably make my dad pretty proud.
There you go. Kyle Freeland joins us. Hey, Kyle, saw you on ESPN there with Dan Lebatard. How's that, doing a national sort of interview? How'd that go for you?
It was fun, you know. It was a nice light show, you know. Did the same thing last week and had a blast with it, you know. His dad's hilarious. It was a fun show to do.
Yeah, it's always weird when you do those satellite shows because the question, you can't really see him, right? Like the questions come in and the timing's always kind of odd. And he's asking you about
it's like delayed, and you're just staring at a camera. You don't see them, but they see you. It's a little weird, but no, it was a lot of fun.
How's your calf feeling?
It's doing good. It just cramped up on me yesterday. I mean, pretty hot in Denver, 95 most of the day and throughout the game. And it just cramped up on me there in the sixth and the seventh, but it feels good now. Went through my whole workout today.
Good.
Had no issues, so we're all good.
Well, we're watching the game, and we're pumped, and it's, you know, that was a tough play in center. I think maybe David could have got it, but it was a tough play. It was legit. And when they
that was a tough play.
And they took you out, you only had 82 pitches, because I thought, oh, man, he's going to cruise through the seventh. So
yeah.
were you a little frustrated to come out with only one out in the seventh?
A little bit, yeah. You know, with the calf cramp, you know, flaring up a little bit, it was mostly precautionary getting me out of there just because, you know, you don't want anything more to happen, especially with the timing of it, you know, being middle of September and the playoff hunt and everything like that. So, yeah, I mean, I was feeling good through seventh. I gave up those two hard base knocks in the seventh after getting one out. But, you know, other than that, I felt good. Pitch count was down. I was looking to go pretty deep in that game, but I'm just being precautious of the calf.
Well, I tell you what, it's been so fun watching you guys this year. What does it feel like to be in this race, to be the first team in Colorado Rockies history to win the division?
Well, they're not there yet, Al.
What does it feel like to be in this race? I didn't say that you won it.
All right. God, make me nervous.
It feels great. You know, we're excited. We're loving the kind of baseball that we're playing, you know, all around from pitching, hitting, and fielding. You know, we're doing everything right, and it feels good to be in the spot that we're in and to continue to win and roll out every day knowing that we're gonna get a win that night.
Well, last year you guys got a taste of this with the one-game playoff against the Diamondbacks. Did you come back in spring training this year with a brand new focus about doing something even greater this year? What was it like early on compared to the beginning of last year?
Yeah, no, we're going into spring training in the start of the season this year. We're looking to build off last year. It was a really good team last year, really good season last year. Didn't end the way we wanted it to. But ultimately with the group we had, we knew that we can do something special. And, so we're just kind of building off last season, especially, you know, in the previous seasons where, you know, last time we made the playoffs was 2009. So it's, we're looking forward to this race, you know, coming down to it this last couple weeks. It's going to be exciting.
Are you the ace of this team?
That's not for me to say. That's something you guys talk about. No, I believe that, you know, collectively as a group, our starting staff needs to be one unit. There's not one guy that should be standing out more than the other. This is a, it's a team game in all aspects of it, and that's the way I look at it. You know, the whole 1 through 5 rotation, whatever it may be, I mean, that's for you guys to talk about and decide.
All right, let me rephrase. You make the playoffs, let's hope, right? Somebody's got to take that ball for the first game. Would you be comfortable in that position?
Oh, I want that ball.
There you go, Kyle. That's what I'm talking about.
Why do you think
that's the right answer?
Why do you think it's been so hard for other pitchers to come here and play well? I know it's the only place where you really know, but for other guys, do they ask you about what it's like pitching here because you've grown up here, or is it a conversation that's, you know, that never happens?
I've been asked about it a few times. You know, if I change anything or anything like that with mechanics or pitch selection. But for me, I mean, you know, I've been asked this question a lot lately. It's I just don't change my mentality whether I'm at sea level or at altitude. It's something that, why would you really do it? I mean, yeah, you have to make a few small adjustments, but nothing major where you have to have something drastic change in your mechanics or the way you throw a pitch. I mean, you're going to pitch the way you pitch. And I've just continued to, you know, keep that mentality whether I'm at home or on the road.
You got one. I'm just looking at the schedule. You're scheduled for one more road game, excuse me, for the rest of the season. How many relatives are going to come out to L.A. to see you start against the Dodgers?
Right now, I don't think I have anyone coming out.
What?
For that game. No, I don't have any family in California. I got a few friends who will be at the game. Got some friends who will be here in San Fran as well. But no, I mean, they got confidence that they're going to be watching us in the playoffs at home.
Good, good, good. I love that.
How many road games has your dad been to?
None. We're trying to get him out.
What? Really?
Dad's working, right?
Dad's working.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Today was a fun day for us because you guys wore jerseys on the team plane that represented the teams that I guess that you like. And tell us what jersey that you wore and what was the significance behind it.
So, jersey I wore, I got a Von Miller jersey. Obviously, I mean, how can you not be a fan of Von Miller? He obviously plays for the Broncos, hometown team.
Mm-hmm.
But I traded in the Philip Lindsay jersey. They hadn't started making them yet. So I was
that's that TJ love that. Right. That's that TJ love right there.
Yeah, I was trying to find a way. Wasn't able to, but I'll have to get my hands on one soon.
Yeah, somebody pointed that out to us the other. Actually, it was Torrey Humphrey, as a matter of fact, your old baseball coach, high school coach, pointed out to me how you and Philip are doing so great for your local franchises and how often that happens. And I thought about it. I don't know, Kyle. That's got to be relatively unusual for two different franchises in the same hometown. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty rare. It's a cool connection to have, you know, not only with the Rockies and the Broncos, but myself and Philip. It's really cool to you know, see that story and how it's going to start unfolding.
Well, right on. We're super proud of you. I have no idea what song that was as you're walking. What's your batting average right now, by the way? What are you hitting?
I think I'm still sub 100.
Oh, dude. Good job.
How much time do you actually spend swinging the bat?
At home, we hit every single day.
Hmm.
I mean, I've been trying. This year hasn't been the best for me. I've been trying a lot of different stuff, trying to get out of it. Had a good day yesterday. It felt really good to make good contact with the ball for the first time in a very long time.
Yeah, because John took one pretty deep the other day, man.
Marquez, really good.
What does Marquez's batting practice look like?
It is the most impressive thing you'll ever see.
I mean, that dude is legit, right?
From a guy with from a guy with the hitting mechanics where you look at it, you're like, how did you make contact? And then he just goes up to the dish and he just wails on balls.
Well, we're really, of course, super proud of you. And we're behind you guys 1,000%. And, you know, tell Nolan we were definitely talking smack about him wearing a Jets jersey, by the way. That did not that did not go unnoticed here, by the way. So, but best of luck, and then we'll catch up with you soon, all right?
Good luck, bro.
All right. Sounds okay. Good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There you go.
Oh, that's cool.
Kyle Freeland.
The TJ product.
How about that?
Wow, TJ, stand up. I mean, Daniel Graham has got to be really, really happy right now. Another TJ alum, yeah, great job, man, great job. Seeing two local guys playing for the local team.
That's amazing.
And then starring roles.
It's ridiculous.
Come on, man. Come on. That's how you become a fan.
How can you not be a fan?
That's how you become a fan.
I know he takes pride in his batting, by the way. But this is just, I mean, he's a really good hitter. Like, Kyle's an incredible athlete. And, you know.
But do you want him to be a great hitter?
No, of course not. I don't care. I just know he likes doing it, and he's good at it. But even if you're good at it, you hit sub 100. Because you're a pitcher. It's you know, there's reasons.
That's so weird, though, you know, that you would pitch, and the ball's coming out of your hand, and you know exactly what you want to do, but you can't produce the offense.
Because you're missing literally hundreds of thousands of swings compared to everybody
you're
else.
You're throwing and you're looking at hitters.
That's what makes Ohtani just you know, absurd what he can do. But he didn't go to school. You realize that, right? Ohtani just did not go to school anymore.
Or Bumgarner. What is Bumgarner's?
Bumgarner's not hitting good. He's probably around sub 100.
Is he this year?
Ohtani's legit. Ohtani is a major league hitter, flat out. Not good for a pitcher. He's good for a hitter.
Will you please get this man a napkin? Because he's drooling over here on Ohtani again.
But the reason he got like that is because he just stopped going to school. I have no idea what grade Ohtani stopped going to school, but until we're willing to just let our American kids not go to school anymore. Plus, he's 6'5". He's unbelievable. He's ridiculous.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Napkin.
I do love Ohtani. What was that song? Did you recognize that song by Freeland? What was that song, Big Sexy? What is it? What do you need?
It's called Shake Something by Lewis the Kid.
Oh, my God.
Lewis the Kid.
Terrible.
Shake Something. One more time, man. Let me hear that a little bit. Let me hear that.
Lewis the Child. See, I'm out of touch, too. Lewis the Child.
Lewis the Child. Let me hear that again.
I don't have it.
You don't have it no more? I mean, did you already get rid of it?
It's already gone.
How did you find a version?
Is it never going to be on our playlist again? Do we have to have Kyle Freeland on to get the
Lewis
the
Child
on? Lewis the Kid? Oh, yeah.
Now batting.
How you gonna start like you ain't been? We got the bean, yeah, the infrared tone. Put in the air, let it all come down. King got the underground, got the underground.
Let's go! It's Friday!
Get another girl. Turn a hotel room to a wonder world. Only count down when the
Uber comes. Oh, that's on my playlist now.
Now everybody's
scared. When I'm in the gym, I'm gonna be thinking about,
you throw it in the air.
You know, doing something great.
And you throw it in the air.
Since our Colorado Rockies are about to do something great.
You get it from. How about his answer, though? When we have a playoff game and it's game one, he goes, I want that ball.
I want that ball.
That's what I'm talking about. You want that ball, you're ready to run with it. We're going to challenge you right now. 303-713-1043. It's time for the legendary 5 o'clock fire up next on The Fan.